Our reading this morning is from Psalm 1. Psalm 1, 1 to 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this word that has been kept for so long. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction to us as sisters and brothers. And Lord, we pray that your word would speak now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago when we appeared from our holiday, a Sunday early, but Daniel was speaking, and he used an illustration that I think gave most of you a bit of a chuckle, because he said something about the fact that you would understand, as that most of you probably go snowboarding or skateboard riding, that it is very important to look ahead. I had a special Father's Day experience where Linda was talking about the things that the dads do for their kids. Well, my kids took me snowboarding, and I'm amazed that I'm walking around today. I thought if I get off this mountain without a ride in an ambulance, it'll be great. And I did, and I had a great snowboard teacher, Daniel, who used to do it for a living. And I did notice there weren't very many fellows up there with grey beards learning how to snowboard. Perhaps you and I could go up next time surf. So, but I tell you what, the illustration about looking ahead that Daniel brought, and he was preaching and talking about our calling, was it had a whole new meaning, because Daniel kept telling me, "Dad, look ahead, look ahead. Where you want to go." And my inclination, as the illustration was, that I'd be wanting to look down and keep an eye on, you know, the snow and the humps and the bumps, and try not to fall over. Dad, look ahead where you want to go. And as I look at this scripture here, it gives us some good advice, men, about looking ahead. Because I think it's very easy for us, and even unknowingly, it's very easy for us to get stuck in places that we never intended to get stuck in, because our focus is taken by lots of things that are going on around us. Psalm 1 has probably not been, I could point to a number of psalms that have been a great deal in my life, and it's sort of a bittersweet start to this psalm, because it says, blessed is the man that does not. Blessed is the man that does not do something. And that does not is does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. In a sense, blessed is the man that does not sit and settle down and stay in the place where he's seated with mockers. And so it's talking about where we might be looking and with whom we would be associating and what direction our lives will take. I've been moved over these last few weeks. It's been terrific to go and have a holiday. And it's been terrific just to feed on God's word and not have in the back of my mind, there might be a sermon in this. There might be something to share in this. It's just been good to feed my heart. And as I've looked at his word, and this has been one of the places that I went, because I love the part in verse 2 where it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I just want to say to you, fellas, I want to say to you, young fathers, Tom, I want to say I think you're probably the youngest father here. Pretty good guess on that one, eh? I want to say to you fathers that are got kids grown up a bit, I want to say to your grandfathers and great-grandfathers, I want to say to you men who have been involved in fathering, in walking alongside other blokes or actually fathering other people's children, I want to say the world around about you, it needs to see that you know where you're going. And that we as men need to be very careful that we are not just subtly lured into things that are not godly. And I don't think you have to go very far to start walking in the counsel of the wicked. I don't think you have to go very far to just pause for a while and stand in the way of sinners. I don't think you have to go very far at all to be sitting down with mockers. In fact, we've got media of all sorts that is bombarding us all the time. And there's things that claim to be truth coming at us from all directions. And it's so easy for us to be affected because we're not looking really about where we want to go. We're looking about the things that are all around us and the take that people have. I don't think there's ever been a time where I've seen a greater level of polarization in our society and a greater level of information that is slanted from the right or from the left, and it leaves people in a dangerous place. But I love this psalm where it might start off in a sense with a sort of a positive negative in that first verse. But I love this psalm where it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I love it in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, where Jesus had gone out into the wilderness and he'd been fasting and praying and preparing himself for the ministry that would be opening up to him. And Satan takes him and says, well, you know, why don't you, Jesus is hungry, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And if you go into Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it goes on to say, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's challenged me and encouraged me and reignited within me a need for us to be men who have an effect on the community around about us because we're feeding on the Word of God. You know, we can feed on all sorts of things. But here it talks about the person that does delight in the Word of God and does delight and take time and sit and pauses and considers and revisits and meditates. It likens that person to a person that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. I remember on a trip down the Murray many years ago, probably in the Barmer Forest we were, or travelling through the Barmer Forest, and we'd gone for a bit of a walk through the very dry forest. It didn't look like it did in the posters, but the river was flowing, but the forest floor was just bare and dusty. And yet those trees, those beautiful river red gums, their roots were down into the water, and they would grow there no matter what the season was like. And I remember walking along this road, and I probably did an illegal thing, I'll confess. I saw this little tree growing up in the roadway, and I thought, well, that thing's going to get graded off. So I thought to myself, you know, I think I'll just dig that little tiny tree out. It was only about that tall. And I planted it beside a creek that was just down from where we lived in Mudgee. And it was planted in the right place where, as it grew, I'd love to go back and have a look at how big that tree is now. But it was planted in the right place. And we as men, as fathers, as grandfathers, as men that are planted in communities, whether it's Now and Now or whether it's Nungurna, wherever it might be, the community around about us needs to see that we're men that are well planted and well grounded, and that we can be still growing strong no matter what is transpiring in society around us. And we can be bringing benefit, and we can be bringing good fruit into the world that we live in. Because I think the community around about us, I think our families need to see where and what is truth. I recognize that Bible that Linda showed us. I think it probably was is a Thompson Chain reference. That would be correct, yeah. And I recognize the scribble in it, because I'm not sure whether it was Sarah or Daniel that scribbled in mine too. I don't know whether Lynn found out, and I never knew. But anyway, my Bible had some spare. That Bible's also been worn out. But our kids need to see that their dad is in the Word of God, and their dad feeds on the Word of God, and their dad's life is changed by the Word of God. And one of the blessings in my life, my dad became a follower of Jesus when I was just an infant. I knew nothing about his conversion other than what he told me, because I never knew him really before he got saved. But I knew what his life was as I grew up with him as my father. And I knew that his faith in Jesus was real, and I knew that he sought to understand God's word. And I say to you, fathers, our kids need to see us, and they need to know that we know where and we know what is truth. Our kids need to see that we delight in God's word, that it's our practice to be in his word, that we value his word, and that we meditate on it. And if there's one, or if there's three words that we take away from what I'm saying today, take these words: his every word. His every word, just three words. Is his every word the place that you go? Is that your go-to place? Is that what informs you? Is that what illuminates? Is that what instructs? Is that the influencer of your life? You know, I was surprised to hear, I think last week on the news, that people aged under 30, 50% of them or 45% of them have a tremendous burning ambition to become influencers. It's a new thing, you know. Influencers. You can make a living out of being an influencer. It doesn't really matter whether you know what life's about. I guess by the time you're 30, you know most of the things. But you're an influencer. You just post stuff up and people go, oh yeah, I'm with you, I like you, or whatever an influencer is. Your kids need you to be an influencer in your household. Your neighborhood needs you to be an influencer, a real influencer, because the word of God has already influenced you. You know, it's an amazing thing. The Word of God, it confronts us. And it convicts us. The Word of God shows us how we can be cleansed and be made right before God. The amazing thing, the outstanding thing about the Word of God is it invites us to come. Impossible for us to measure up in and of ourselves, but we're invited to come. Failures are welcome here, because of the deep love of the Father that he sent his Son. The Word of God comforts. The Word of God searches. The Word of God saves. The Word of God satisfies. And the Word of God strengthens. Where's your go-to place? The times were getting tough for Jesus. He'd said things that people didn't understand. And there were those that had been following and decided that they would leave. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you know, will you also leave? And Peter pipes up and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe that you are the Holy One from God. In John chapter 8, in verse 31, and this is often misquoted because it's usually shortened right down, you know, the truth will set you free. Sometimes it's a slogan in a school motto or whatever. I've heard people use it lots, but they don't read what Jesus actually said. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, if what I say is your go-to place, if you take what I say seriously, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I believe that in our day and in our families and in our neighbourhoods and in our hearts, we need to hear the voice of truth. I believe we need to hear a different story to what we're hearing in the world around about us. We need to be careful where we walk, and we need to be careful where we hang around, and we need to be very careful where we settle, where we sit. We need to become familiar with God's word. I love where Jesus, speaking about himself and the fact that he is the good shepherd, I love where he says, my sheep follow me because they know my voice. I love that. Do you know the voice of your Saviour? Do you know the voice of your Lord? In John chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, they will listen to my voice. Oh, my prayer is that you will be one who realizes where true sustenance and where true satisfaction lie, and it lies in knowing God's word. That you would actually delight in his word, that you'd come and stay a while with his word, that you'd meditate on it. You'd find yourself growing and planted in a wonderful place, that you'd find that it's there, that there's freedom and there's truth, and good fruit is born of it in your life. And you will find yourself amazingly prosperous, that you will find yourself prospering in the things of what God says matter most. I wonder whether we might just finish this time as we come into communion. We might just listen to a song that I had on my mind during the week, and the fact that we need to know a voice of truth, the voice of truth that tells us a different story. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to be listening and to be believing your voice of truth, because you are the truth. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity today as we gather around this table to allow our hearts to be profoundly affected by the fact that you reached out to us and you reached out your hand. You carried our sin in yourself. You spoke the truth to mankind, and you opened the way for us to belong to you. Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to see again the opportunity to delight ourselves in your word. And Lord, to take hold, to meditate, and to not try and live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.